Can you hear me? Oh, good. I can't hear anything else. That's wonderful. Well, it's absolutely wonderful to be able to share with you this morning. And thank you, Maddie, for such a challenging and stimulating question. Now, if we could have the PowerPoint, please, Trevor. The first picture, which obviously is our title, What is the Trinity and How Does It Work? And artists have attempted to interpret the Trinity, and there's just three examples here. And the center one is actually a sculpture called the Trinity that I took near Assumption Cathedral in Yaroslav in Russia. And so scholars and theologians have discussed and debated the mystery of the Trinity for centuries. And you expect me to explain it in less than 15 minutes? Well, right, the Trinity is a difficult doctrine, but fundamental to Christianity. And simply defined, it's the union of three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in one God, co-equal and yet distinct. Please, may we have the next slide? And here is lots of scriptures that are for Bible study on facets and the character of the Trinity. And maybe you might like to look at those in your cell group. Now, I'm going to talk about some illustrations of three being one. So if we look at the first one, please, Trevor, which is, of course, the three-leaf clover or the shamrock. And just as the leaves on the shamrock or the clover are three parts like to the Holy Trinity, the first is God the Father, then Jesus, his only Son, with the Holy Spirit together, they are three in one. And then the next one is the apple, where we see the outer skin representing God as the protector, the flesh representing Jesus, the word that was made flesh, and then the seeds in the middle are the Holy Spirit, the giver of life. Then the next one is the egg, where the shell represents the Father, the yolk represents the Son, and the albumen or white represents the Holy Spirit. And then the next one is the chemical formula H2O, where H2O manifests itself in three different forms or states of matter. We have solid ice, liquid water, and then gas as a steam. And seeing that here, God is three in one, manifest in three different ways. Now, all these illustrations are just faint and suggestive comparisons, and it's impossible adequately to picture by means of material things such a profound truth concerning an infinite God. So, what does the Bible say? So if we look at the next slide, please, and we see that right back in Genesis chapter 1, the very beginning first couple of verses, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And then by verse 26, then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness. So there's a plurality there. So even before the creation of the world, there was love within the Trinity and relationship, and it's out of this life and love that creation came to be. Next slide, please. And we come to the baptism of Jesus in Matthew chapter 3. And as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. And at that moment, heaven was opened and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. And I think that illustration visually shows that really well. Then the next verse we look at is the Great Commission, where Jesus is talking to his disciples after his resurrection and before ascending into heaven. And he says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And then moving on to Paul's teaching, we see in 1 Corinthians 12, he's talking about spiritual gifts, and he's saying there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them, in everyone, is the same God at work. So we just see that all these gifts are the product of the Trinity working in harmony and enabling us to minister. Now, I'd like us to move on now to look at the thoughts of someone of C.S. Lewis. Now, he was the British writer and lay theologian who not just wrote the Narnia series, but many more books. He held academic positions in English literature, both at Oxford and at Cambridge. And he takes a line, one dimension line, and likens that to the building blocks of the universe. Then we move on to two dimensions, the square, which is the combination of four lines, and that represents living plants and animals. And then six squares are combined in a way inconceivable for anyone living in just a one or 2D world to form a cube, three dimensions. And that is likening to human beings. And then the fourth dimension, like an extra solid, is the God who is superpersonal. Now, in our limited thinking, we might see time as the fourth dimension, but of course, God is eternal and timeless. And so we see here the use of the analogy of dimensions in space, describing how God's dimension is at a higher level than ours, and therefore we cannot fully comprehend the Trinity. Then moving on to relationships. And here we see myself in the center, and I am one person, but there are three special relationships that I have. As a wife, I am a friend, a companion, and a spouse to Matthew. Then I am a mother to Ruth and Nathaniel. I brought them up. I affirm and I support them. And then I am a granny to my five amazing grandchildren who I encourage, I play with, I seek to guide, but most of all, I love to treat and spoil them. Now, I am one person, but these relationships are different, and yet it's me manifesting myself in three different areas. But each of these relationships are underpinned by love. I'm one person in three equally important relationships underpinned by love. So if we think a bit more about relationship and love, next slide, please. We see that relationship is the way in which two or more people or things are connected. And love is a strong affection for another arising out of kinship or personal ties. And that beautiful verse, the section of 1 John 4, that God is love. And in that, we are seeing relationship, and there must be a lover and a beloved. And so within the Trinity, we're seeing God as our example of love. And if we look at the next slide, which I'm not going to read, but it is those verses from 1 John 4, which is talking about God is love. That is central. God is love. And yet we see how we've got God in red and the Spirit in yellow, the sun in green, and the focus on love and relationship. And so the Trinity is expressed through relationship and through love. And then, how does the Trinity work? And I'm now going to move on to Matthew's, what a brilliant explanation of how the Trinity works in relation to the example of a coxless four. This rowing coxless four is designed for four persons who, with one oar each, propel the boat with sweep oars. Now, the person in the bow position, has the best vision. They steer, set the direction, and give the orders. And that represents Jesus. The person in number two position gives the power in the boat, and we see that as God. Then the Holy Spirit is the third person, who also gives power, but whispers encouragement in the ear of the fourth rower, who is the stroke, or us, and sets the rhythm for the rest of the crew to follow. Now, when God speaks to us, when Jesus gives us orders as Christians, how quickly do we respond? And, you know, God's a gentleman. He doesn't force things on us. And it's up to us how quickly we respond, how quickly we set the rhythm for the Trinity to be working in and through us. And there's a picture here of the most famous British coxless four, Steve Redgrave, Matthew Pinsent, James Cracknell, and Tim Foster. Now, they were chosen for the crew. They trained long and hard, and they rowed to Olympic glory. We have been chosen. John 15, 16, Jesus said, "You did not choose me, but I chose you." And we are part of the crew, and with the Holy Spirit, we have been invited to work, to minister, and to bring God's love and gospel to the world. So the Trinity is not an aloof concept or doctrine, but the God who wants a personal relationship with you and me. The Trinity teaches Christians vital truths about relationship and community. And how can that apply to us today in Network Church? Next slide, please. Yes, do we as a church in all our diversity reflect the unity, relationship and love modelled by the Trinity? And so in conclusion, my last slide. The mystery of the Trinity is known to be true not through rational or philosophical explanation, but through a personal Christian experience. We as believers can know firsthand the grace, love, and fellowship that freely flow from the three persons of the one God. So let us all together say the words of the benediction or the grace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
Elizabeth, thank you. Amazing. That was fabulous.